Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing to be upon the remainder of the service. We pray, Lord, that you would touch hearts, that you would help us to receive from thy hand of mercy, to know and understand your will in our lives. We're looking to you tonight and trusting and leaning upon you. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Since this is the first time for me to speak to you, perhaps I should have a word of introduction. My name is Charles Carr, as the brother mentioned. We came down from Alaska July the 1st after pastoring there for 14 years and 7 months. And we also, I was a high school teacher. Since the church was rather small and it was necessary for me to support my family. We have 2 boys in this assembly that have completed the Bible college. And since we have arrived, my wife and I have been taking classes likewise. Our present intentions are to seek the face of the Lord for his guidance. And in the meantime, a bit of rest and recuperation before we continue on working for him wherever he would send us. Hallelujah. How many do we have here tonight that either feel a call to the ministry, or if the Lord calls you, you intend to say yes? Let's see your hand. Hallelujah. Well, this is wonderful. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm not going to pass myself off as an expert on this subject, but as our subject tonight is pastoring in Alaska, I can at least present some of my experiences to you in the hopes that the things that we have to say may be of some benefit to you if and when you should be out on the field yourself. And we'll deal with the subject in 3 parts. First, how we happened to go to Alaska. Secondly, some of our experiences and things that we learned there. And thirdly, our conclusions and recommendations. Hallelujah. I came to the Lord in 1949 as a high school senior. My spiritual birthday is Mother's Day of this year. I'll be 35, believe it or not. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's nice to be 35. Hallelujah. After being saved, I spent a year in St. Paul attending Bible college, 4 years in the Air Force. Went on to the university to become a high school teacher, and began teaching school in Illinois. 1965, I became a licensed minister in the United Pentecostal Church. For the next 3 years, I prayed and sought the Lord as to how he would have us to move toward a more widened ministry. In early 1968, I happened to see an article in a home missions paper saying that there was a need for pastors in various parts of the country. And so I went to talk to our home missions director in the St. Louis area. He said that there were 3 churches open in Alaska, and he encouraged us to go that direction. One was at Delta Junction in the interior, southeast of Fairbanks. The other was at a Tlingit Indian village in southeast Alaska. It had a population of around 800 or 900. And then the other was in Sitka, Alaska. It used to be the capital when Russia owned Alaska. And so I agreed that I would go to the university placement office and see if there were any openings there, since it would be necessary for me to have a job to support my family, since the church was quite small. I went there the next day and found that there was an opening in Sitka. Now, we feel the hand of the Lord was definitely in this thing because there had been no openings the week before. And I went out after in curiosity the following week and found that there was no openings then. And so it seemed like the Lord had just worked it out perfectly. I applied for the job and received it. The hand of the Lord was also in the disposal of our house. We were buying a house. I ran an ad in the evening paper. And an hour or two after the newspapers came out, a man dropped by our house to look at it, and he was the man that bought it. And he was the only one who came to look at the house. And so we feel that the Lord definitely had a hand in that. And so we went to Sitka. We arrived there August 1968, and we remained as pastors until April of last year. This was my first and only pastorate. I'd taught Sunday school, I'd been a Sunday school superintendent, I'd been young people's leader, I'd filled in for the pastor, and I would like to encourage you in this direction. Anytime you have an opportunity to do anything in the church, to take advantage of that opportunity. For when the day comes that the burden of the pastorate is upon you, you'll have a better understanding, having served in these various functions, on your way to being the pastor. Next, I'd like to touch on a few of our experiences and some of the things that we learned. I have no desire that this message should seem too negative, but on the other hand, if I don't tell you some of the hardships, I could leave you with an unbalanced picture. When you go out into a home missions work, the devil is going to be there to meet you. You're going to have your problems. And so we might as well touch on the bad as well as the good. Praise the Lord. Many young ministers have gone out to start a new work or to take over a small church, and they have been simply overwhelmed and have ended up throwing their hands up and have gone back home. They expected victory after victory, shouting and dancing in the Spirit, and they were not prepared for some of the things that they met. For while you may have dancing in the Spirit, and you may have victories, and you may have souls being saved, you also have those days when you wonder if it was the Lord that called you or whether you called yourself. Amen. Sitka is located on Baranoff Island. This is an island that's about 35 miles wide and about 70 miles long. Our Sunday afternoon drives consisted of going 6 miles out to the ferry landing, and next Sunday afternoon, 6 or 7, the opposite direction to the pulp mill. For variety, we could go across to the other island, take a bridge, and it was 3 or 4 miles. That was our highways. Praise the Lord. We were accustomed to about 30 inches of rain back in Illinois, where we have 90 some in Sitka, plus the snows. But we adapted to the situation. In fact, we reached the point where we rather liked the place. Hallelujah. I mentioned to you that we could see the hand of the Lord in our move up there. We'd hardly arrived and we began to see the hand of Satan, too. The devil will contest every inch of ground that you try to claim for the glory of God. I found that certain students objected to the fact that their history teacher was also a pastor of a church, and they liked to needle me a bit. During the 5-minute passing time, I would sometimes hear voices out in the hall, "Praise the Lord!" Or if my back was turned as they came into class, time to go to church, or they'd refer to Brother Carr. But I didn't let it bother me, and the day came when they learned to accept me, and we got along very well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We ran into some of the same problems that some of your satellite pastors have run into. People find out that we teach the unfolding revelation of God, and they immediately label us with the label of false teachers, false doctrines. We had folks that sometimes coming to our church, people from other churches would get a hold of them, and the next service we'd find they were no longer with us. They had gone over to the other place. The devil tried a different tactic. These three things happened within about a week, 2 weeks. First, my wife had a dream, and in that dream, she dreamed that I had come home and told her to start packing where we were leaving Sitka. Then I talked to our pastor in Juneau on the phone, and he had had a dream. He dreamed that we had left Sitka. And then I walked into the teacher lounge one morning, and the geometry teacher looked at me rather startled. And he said, "Charlie, I dreamed that you dropped dead." Now, these three things all taking place close together, it left us wondering. My wife was somewhat depressed over it all. But now, a few years later, we are able to look back upon this thing and have no question or doubts as to where it came from. For these things do not come from above. They come from the other place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, we learned a number of things in our ministry. I'd done fairly well back in Illinois. I had a teenage Sunday school class that had really been growing. I was the regular song leader, and it just seemed like God was blessing us. that I find that when you get out on the field, just because you've had previous successes, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy street. It requires prayer and hard work and faith and putting in your sickle and going forth to do a work for the Lord. Hallelujah. We learned that small churches have morale problems. They really do. The attendance is down. They're asking questions. Where's everybody at? Hallelujah. Remember, nationwide, churches are not like community chapel. You take Pentecostal and charismatic churches. Statistically, the average American church is 100 or fewer members, not up 2 or 3,000 such as we have in the case of community chapel. The enemy will always use empty space to try and discourage the saints. It was said that the Kennedys, during campaigns, they would always rent a building that was smaller than what they expected. They wanted the news media to be able to say that they had an overflow crowd. There's something that psychological effect from having too many empty seats. Praise the Lord. Don't forget tonight, no matter how insignificant that you may feel you are, don't forget the fact that you may not have a ministry. You're still important to the Church of God. I haven't met a preacher yet that enjoys preaching to empty pews. He likes overflow crowds. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Things we learned while pastoring. Hallelujah. We learned that church sometimes ranks rather low on some folks' list of priorities. Up at the top is hunting and fishing and then boating and then swimming. And then if it's a nice day and they feel well and there's no company, might go to church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Things I learned as pastor. One of the things I learned was that the most important thing in the eyes of a pastor is having stable saints. People that you can depend on to be there for each service. You can depend on them. You know they're going to be there. Hallelujah. They cooperate. Anything you ask them to do, they're Johnny on the spot. They're willing to do it. They get right in there and pitch. And believe me, brother, those are like jewels. They are precious. And every pastor sees it that way, I'm sure. Stability is very, very important, too. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Ask yourself tonight, are we going to serve God or are we not? Right. Hallelujah. When did you make that decision? At the time of your conversion, or do you find the devil wanting to contest today as to whether you're going to serve the Lord today or not? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Wonder how many of you have the experience of waking up on Sunday morning and feeling awful tired. The old enemy whispers in your ear. whispers in your ear. Hallelujah. You're tired. Go back to sleep. That chapel has so many people, they'll never miss you. You ever have that happen to you? Praise the Lord. Maybe it's the day of the week when you have four classes and the old enemy says, 4 hours of taking notes, writing as hard as you can write, what a drag. You don't want to do that, do you? Hallelujah. Or maybe you're standing at a newsstand and you see a news or a magazine has big letters, Playboy, Penthouse. The old enemy says, nobody's around here that knows you, take a peek. Now, you've told the enemy many a time to get lost, and here he comes back. He's just as persistent as flies at a picnic. He keeps coming at you. Hallelujah. The Bible says to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. Some folks haven't learned that yet. Whenever he comes around, instead they give him a warm embrace. And that's not the way to walk with God. Hallelujah. Well, glory, glory, glory. Stability is essential. Endurance is important. Making our start for the Lord is not enough. The most essential thing is that you still be in the race at the finish line. Amen. If we miss heaven, we have missed it all. The truth. Glory to God. The most rewarding words that we can ever hear are the words of the Lord telling us, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Those are the words that we are working to hear someday. Glory to God. In John, the 10th chapter and the 11th verse, most of my comments have touched on the negative side, but there is the opposite side, which we need to spend some time on too. The better side. John 10, 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Praise the Lord. When you take on the ministry of being a pastor, when you answer the call of God, when you go forth, we're talking about a shepherd. We're not talking about a hireling. Praise God. There are people in the ministry in some nominal churches because they chose it as a man decides to be a lawyer or a doctor. There are some in the ministry who have taken out license, and I used to see it in other parts of the country where I was. They seem to enjoy sitting on the platform and having the word reverend in front of their name, but they have no concept of what it means to be a shepherd of sheep, to have a love and a compassion for lost souls. Amen. When you're called of God and you go out to a city, don't forget, brother, that that particular city is God's particular section of His vineyard that He has called you to, and that you become responsible for the souls in that area and the message that they are to hear to come from your lips and come forth from your efforts as you endeavor to win souls for Christ. Hallelujah. So you find yourself continuously praying for the people. Sometimes even awakening in the night and calling out to the Lord in behalf of those that you've been working with and for lost souls in that place. You find yourself battling the powers of darkness manifested in the form of drugs and drunkenness, in the form of family problems and the occult and the coldness and indifference you sometimes run across. Paul writes, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When you go forth to pastor, you're engaged in a spiritual warfare, a battle. Hallelujah. Alcohol is the major problem in Alaska. Over 90% of the problems that we came up against had alcohol in the background somewhere. I've gone to pick up kids for Sunday school on Sunday morning, and at their door I could see what had gone on the night before, the beer cans and the whiskey bottles. I've had the little kids in my car heading back toward the church and hear them saying, Brother Carr, do you know what happened last night? Mommy and Daddy came home after midnight and they had a big fight, and your heart just aches for situations of that nature. This is part of pastoring too. Witchcraft was practiced up there. Sometimes at the close of a Sunday night service when we would have people come forth for prayer, there would be those, some of our people were Tlingit Indians, and they would ask for prayer, referring to somebody they believed that had been trying to cast a spell on them and blaming the ache in their neck or their shoulder or their arms to witchcraft. Praise the Lord. But in spite of all these things, you battle on. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so, day after day, it's home Bible studies, it's telling people on the streets and in the hospitals, inviting them to your services, praying for them, and at various aspects of the ministry. And sooner or later, good things begin to happen. Hallelujah. Somebody that you can't home Bible studies, you can see it's beginning to have an effect on them. And they ask you, can I be baptized? I've already given my heart to the Lord. I've repented of my sins. Glory to God. Then maybe on Sunday night at the close of the service, perhaps they're filled with the Spirit, or maybe in their own home. I baptized a woman one time who had already received the Spirit. She had gone out to her car while she was living up in Fairbanks, 30 below zero, and she was sitting there warming her car and praising the Lord, and the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Man I had home Bible studies with, he got up early one Sunday morning before his wife and daughter. He was having his own private devotions. And by the time he got to Sunday school, he was quite thrilled. The Lord had filled him with His Spirit. Oh, glory to God. When all these things begin to happen, friend, your old cup of joy begins to boil over. It just overflows. Hallelujah. You thank the Lord that you're still there. You thank the Lord that you didn't turn tail and run when the devil put on the pressure. You have tears flowing down your cheeks, and you worship and praise Him for the work that has been done. Then you're ready to go forth and find others that you can draw into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalmist David wrote, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Glory to God. Hallelujah. In addition to our regular services, we tried some other things. We once, on occasion, would have street meetings. For a while, we were cooperating with other churches and operating a coffee house down on the main street of the city. Our first summer up there, we got the idea of a mailing campaign. Many of you have seen these cartoon booklets put out by Jack Chick. So we were taking a form letter. We did this once a week for 3 weeks, and we'd put two tracts with this form letter, and we were mailing them to over 600 homes. Cost over $300 for the campaign, and we won a family of 9 people who became the most faithful of those that we had during our time, and they're still walking on with God tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a Japanese ship that comes to Sitka every 5 weeks called the Baranof. They pick up wood pulp and take it to Kobe, Japan. And we were able to arrange to go on board the ship each month when they come in and hold a service for them. We found it quite amusing. The crew was Roman Catholic. And whenever we would go on board the ship, they would have a poster up announcing the services. Pentecostal Mass. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's lots of work out there to be done if we'll just do it. I'm reminded of the story of the Civil War between the North and the South. There was a Southern boy that was in combat for the first time. He was up in the front lines, and he didn't hear the order to retreat. And here all the friends had fallen back, and he was left out there alone and felt rather forsaken. His comrades back behind the lines were wondering what had happened to the poor fella. He's probably been shot by them Yankees. And after a while, here he comes back. He must have had a dozen or more prisoners. And they were quite excited all over the whole thing. They began asking him questions. "Where'd you get all those prisoners?" He says, "Why, the woods are full of them. Just go get your own," he says. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. "Brother, there's sinners out there. Go get them." Hallelujah. 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 Now to the third part. After pastoring 14 and a half years, what might some recommendations be? I would advise you all to get as well equipped and prepared as you can. For those fellows that fought down in Grenada recently needed all that they had learned in combat and advanced infantry training and everything else. They needed it all. They weren't in combat very long when they came to the realization, "Those Cubans are for real. They're trying to kill me." And when you get out there to pastor a work, you'll find the devil has the same attitude. He's out there and he's serious. He's trying to do something to you. When you leave the chapel, you're out of the sheltered place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. No longer can you get under the spout where the glory comes out that others have prayed down. You got to pray your own down. Amen. When you get battles that you've been through, when the old devil would lead you to compromise and to forsake the truth, you got to be prepared. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Praise God. When you go forth, you don't want to go forth under any illusions here. You want to know what you're doing. You want to be stable. You want to be strong in the faith. You don't want to be the kind that can be blown over by the first wind that comes your way. You want to be the kind that will stand. And having done all you know to do, to stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next, hardly anybody here tonight is going to step into the pastor of a large church. Most of us are going to have to start our own or take over a home fellowship of sorts, a Bible study, or a small church. Praise the Lord. It's very important, and I advise this from my heart, that all of you endeavor to sharpen your skills in one-on-one situations. Peter at Pentecost stood before a group and preached a sermon that won 3,000 souls. It has been said that nowadays it takes 3,000 sermons to win one soul. Now this is being a bit facetious, I suppose. But on the other hand, one famous preacher once made the comment that if he had to win so many souls in a year in order to save his life, he would rather do it by personal work out on the streets on a one-on-one situation than he would in trying to do it from the pulpit. And I agree with him. Hallelujah. Many young people envision the ministry of standing where I'm standing tonight, delivering sermons. And that is the more visible part of the ministry. But then there's also personal work. There's the outreach ministry. There's the prayer and the counseling. There's the visiting in the hospitals and in the homes. There's the preaching, the funerals, as well as the weddings. There's all of these things. And you need to sharpen your skills in all of these areas and not think just in terms of being in front of a big group of people and people patting you on the back after your sermon and telling you how great you are. There's more to it than that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Another point, perhaps in your classes there's been times when you sat there listening and wondering, when in the world will I ever use this? I have no doubt that many doctors have sat in medical school and certain diseases they've studied. I'll never see anybody that has this. Isn't cholera concentrated in Asia? And yet the day may come when in America somebody stands in their office with those same symptoms. Praise the Lord. All I can say is you're going to need much more of this training than perhaps you ever realized. Hallelujah. When you go to class, clear out all the distracting thoughts. The thoughts about the dates, the weekend plans, the problems of your employment. Clear these things out and turn yourself into a sponge for a while. Soak up everything that comes forth. Hang into every word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In war, the casualty rate is always highest among those that are the greenest and the least trained, the least prepared. When you get out on the field on your own, you're going to have plenty to do without having to burn the midnight oil trying to learn things that you could have learned in Bible college when it was being presented on a silver platter to you. It's the truth. Thank the Lord. This church and this Bible college pushes excellence. And I think this is great. When I came to the Lord in 1949, I remember hearing people discussing the necessity, whether it's even important to have Bible colleges. The attitude among folks at that time in certain circles was, open your mouth, bless God, and He'll fill it. Well, I don't think many people see it quite that way anymore. We need to study. We need to be students of the Word. Hallelujah. I trust that none of these comments tonight will cause any of you to shirk back If you feel a call of God in your life, the important thing is to develop a real determination. Prepare yourself and be ready to go forth, determined to withstand the enemy and to do battle with him if need be. Hallelujah. Take the attitude that God has called me to a life of service. I'm burning my bridges behind me, and I'm going to sink or swim, swim or sink, one or the other, but I'm not going back. This is what God would have us to do. Hallelujah. Closing, I would like to call your attention to the words of a song that I used to hear over the Harvest Time broadcast. The writer of the song had in mind people standing at the great white throne of God. And here are sinners hearing their doom pronounced. And as they hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," they look off to the side at the saints. And here are some that see people that they knew in this life. And they are saying these words, "You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see." You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. I'm sure none of us tonight want anybody to be able to look at us accusingly in that day, do we? No, sir. But how many people do we meet? And we have lots of things to talk about. Oh, we talk about the high taxes. And we talk about our families and the weather. And we talk about sports. And we wax eloquent. And we can talk and talk and talk. And all too often, time is up and the individual has to go, and we fail to mention the most important topic that we could have brought up, and that is Jesus Christ and what their standing is with him. Amen. Oh, let's go forth determined that we'll do more in regard to God's kingdom and the winning of lost souls for the glory of God. God is calling us to a greater work for him than we have ever done before. The fields are white unto harvest. Amen. Like the southern boy told his comrades, the woods are full of them out there. Go get them. God bless you. Oh, hallelujah.